Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Today, the family's in dire need of FaceTime. And why not have FaceTime about, you know, spiritual issues, as long as it's kept short and as long as it's kept to something that's practical and meaningful for the kids?
He's a modern-day Yoda. I mean, not his looks, but his philosophy stuff.
So many times parents have their own agenda with it, and then they want to get them to a lecture.
Boring.
They want to talk about why they're not getting their homework done or, you know, what they're doing. And really, that's not the time to do that.
When you hear the term family devotions, what do you do as a parent? Chances are, if you're like most of us, you kind of back away from it. And yet, it's a responsibility that each of us has to our kids and to God. So how do we work through this issue? Well, today on Homeward, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns is going to continue a conversation on the topic of faith conversations for families. And this is based on a practical new resource of his that has that same title. From the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. We're not in our usual studio today. We moved the studio into Jim's office. So you really get an up close and personal view with Jim. And now we're going to have part two of this most important conversation. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Jim is the author of numerous best-selling books. He's also a very sought-after seminar speaker. He's the president of Homeward and the executive director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at APU. And today we're talking about a new release from Jim. This is always kind of like having a birthday party or something. Faith Conversations for Families is the new book, and this is one of the most practical books on family devotions you're ever going to read.
Well, it's actually a book that isn't about family devotions. It's just time to have family conversations. So
right.
It's just a bunch of conversations, 52 conversations, 52 weeks, I should say, 150 plus conversations that they can have. Well, actually, they could have a lot more conversations, but it's not really a book about something. It's just a book for them to do.
And very practical. You know, the breathless pace, we talk about it, that yeah. So many families are just spinning out of control. And this is the type of conversation that families need to have, I think, because not only does it help them grow spiritually stronger, but it also gives them a chance to unplug, decompress a little bit, and just have some FaceTime with the family.
Exactly. You know, today, the family is in dire need of FaceTime. And why not have FaceTime about, you know, spiritual issues, as long as it's kept short and as long as it's kept to something that's practical and meaningful for the kids. So many times parents have their own agenda with it. And
yeah.
then they want to get into a lecture. They want to talk about why they're not getting their homework done or, you know, what they're doing. And really, that's not the time to do that. There's another time to do that. There's a time to together talk about their walk with God.
That's so important, especially as you see, as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, kids are leaving the church in their 20s, and you talk so often about how faith conversations can really help keep a child's spirit open. And so it doesn't feel like, you know, God is this, you know, cosmic killjoy, you know, he's going to kind of look down and say, you know, it's terrible. It really gives them the opportunity to see God for who he really is.
Right. I think so. And when they see parents having those conversations in a natural way, they're not expecting parents to be perfect, but it does help them understand that, you know, faith and the walk of faith is something that is more natural.
Mm-hmm.
And as parents, we've got to find ways to have those kind of conversations with our kids, but we have to be intentional and proactive.
Yeah.
It doesn't come normal because it didn't happen in our families typically.
Right. Well, take an issue like prayer, for example. I mean, how do you have a faith conversation with your kids about an issue like prayer?
Okay, and I actually think some of our listeners will be surprised, because what I'm going to do is open to page one.
He is looking at the book
The
right
first
now.
One is called Prayer Communication with God. I'm not sure if you really knew that, but
I think
remembered
prayer
it
is one of those
one.
Big issues. Okay. It's like, how do you answer your kid's question,
you know,
about
so,
prayer?
So we have a focus section before we get into the word, and I love this focus section. It's one of my favorite ones. I actually read this in the newspaper. As far as Regina Hammond is concerned, luck has little to do with it. The 37-year-old flight attendant won $100,000 in a Colorado lottery game, on top of $50,000 she had won the previous year the same way, and she's not finished yet. Her goal is the $1 million grand prize.
Oh boy.
Well, Hammond believes that prayer has paved her way to riches. I pray to God to help me, and he answers me, she says.
Wow.
That's all I left.
Uh-huh.
So then I have some questions for the parents and the kids to dialogue
Great
on.
Story.
How does Regina Hammond claim make you feel? How does that claim that, you know, God, you know, led her to do that with the lottery? If prayer works, why don't all lottery players pray and win? Do you think Hammond will win the $1 million? Okay. Should people pray to get rich? And then it also has some biblical illustrations on this particular thing. And it says, you know, read each of the following items aloud. Is it okay to pray for an A on a test? Lots of money, getting a job, a better complexion, winning a game, new clothes. You know, the list goes on and on.
Wow.
Well, it's making prayer practical. We're kind of throwing good old Regina Hammond under the bus in terms of, you know, what her deal was. But it's not really about the lottery. It's about, you know, she's making one claim. But, you know, what kid hasn't prayed for a better grade on a test because they didn't study? I did.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have goofy prayers, but this begins a dialogue that introduces them to the incredible concept in the next section, which is in the Word, where it now gives a Bible study on prayer and the importance of prayer in their life. Parents can do that one.
Yeah.
They can't give the Greek meaning of the word prayer, probably, but what they can do is have good dialogue. So again, people learn best when they talk, not when somebody else talks to them. So, you know, we found dialogue issues throughout this entire book of how do you help these faith conversations on all kinds of topics to take place. Prayer is one great one, but, you know, also sex and dating and purity and things like that is with a certain age group.
Right. Age appropriate. And I like the fact that the way you were just laying those out, there's lots of places for families to jump in. You don't have to do all of the suggested questions necessarily, but there's places just to get the conversation started.
No, again, and so everyone is a conversation. There's always going to be a conversation. I call it the focus. So, you know, I just opened another one and literally I just opened it up. Serving the Poor and the Oppressed. And it's a kind of a poem that you would read aloud. I was hungry, and you formed a humanities club and discussed my hunger. Thank you. I was naked, and in your mind, you debated the morality of my appearance. I was homeless, and you preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was imprisoned. You know, it goes on. I remember doing this one with my kids, and they go, that's gross.
Yeah.
Why would that happen? And we got into a great conversation.
Good.
Well, if we aren't serving the poor, then who is going to do that? And what is our part? We obviously can't, you know, change poverty, but we can do our part. And then we had a great dialogue, and then we actually looked at what the scripture says out of a parable of Jesus. And I still remember it today, and it was probably 10 years ago.
Wow.
But, you know, those are the kinds of things that you have. And literally, I read it just like I was reading it. It wasn't that I knew this. I didn't know the poem. I just read the poem to the kids.
Sure.
And we ended up having a good dialogue. Now, when you do this, you want to have kids make sure that it's age appropriate. So my kids, when I read that to them, they were probably in their early teens or even preteens. And again, sometimes you have kids at different levels. So the earlier, they're not going to have as meaningful of a conversation probably as somebody who's like really into it at age, you know, 16, 18, things like that. But it's still, nevertheless, try to do it at age appropriate. We have a thing in here on thankfulness where you actually share three reasons why you're thankful for each person.
Hmm.
Well, if you have a five-year-old, they're going to say something maybe cute, but maybe not as meaningful as the older one who can articulate some kind of gratitude experience. Both are genuine and both are important. Both are a faith conversation.
What was encouraging to me, Jim, as you were talking about these faith conversations from your new book, Faith Conversations for Families, is the fact that as we as parents are setting the tone for our kids in these conversations, married parents can do this, single parents can do this.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be mom and dad together in the Norman Rockwell traditional family
setting. No, if there is a mom and dad together in the Norman Rockwell, great. And, you know, there are. But the truth is that most families don't look exactly like that. And frankly, we can debate that all we want, but that's the way it
is. That's the way it is,
yeah. So then you do what you have. I love the quote by Lilo and Stitch in Disney. I'm quoting great scripture here today. But Disney, who says, you know, this is my family. It may be small and it may be broken, but it is my family.
Yeah.
So however the family is, that's the beauty of having faith conversations. And you don't do it out of always strength. You sometimes do it in your own brokenness if the family's broken.
What about support systems? I know that you're really big on couples, you know, being together in fellowship and community and things like that. How can this conversation find its way into that group to where a couple can be supporting another couple in this progress?
Well, there's two ways. One is, you know, obviously if you're in a small group and you have community, and if you're having conversations about this, you can actually share with each other and kind of challenge each other to go back to your family and have those faith conversations. But I found personally with our own family, when we had these, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes somebody might break and say, hey, will you pray for me? You know, so-and-so was really mean to me today. And so as a family, it caused us to be able to pray, not just talk about it or throw that person, you know, under the bus, as I used that term before. Mm-hmm. But it was a chance for us to pray about a particular situation. And that drew us, you know, community means a sense of belonging. Well, a lot of families don't have a sense of belonging spiritually. So this draws you together you know, with a sense of belonging. The word in Greek, here I am talking about not using Greek with families, and now the word in Greek is koinonia, and it literally means a sense of belonging or community. And so you begin to develop a community within your own family as well. Now, you asked the question about others, and I find that's great for accountability and also having faith conversations with others. I mean, today, there were five of us around a table for breakfast. I actually did the devotion, and we talked about embracing the love of God, and we talked about practical steps and deep pleading and flourishing and, you know, all these different things. And you know what? It was really great, but it was the same kind of thing that you can do with a family as well. In fact, I did the devotion today, so I think I'm going to steal my devotion from my guys group and use it with the family.
Absolutely. Good practical advice, and Dr. Jim Burns is here sharing with us more of these ideas for faith conversations for families from his brand new book that's just out, and you can learn more about it when you go to homeward.com if you're not listening to us online already. And while you're online, we encourage you to check out our online resource center because it continues to grow. I mean, we're talking thousands of different pieces of material, anywhere from our daily devotions or online devotionals. We're up to over 25,000 now, I believe, people who are receiving that every day, and the good advice parent newsletter, and the articles and media section. Where I hang out the most, because that's where all the video clips are and the articles and the audio as well. And it's just amazing how much good material is there. And I hate to use the F word, but it's so much of it's free. Absolutely free.
Yeah. You scared me,
Did
Roger.
You get the wrong
this
idea.
Is Christian radio.
Yeah.
Well, we're on wonderful networks like the Moody Network.
That's
just
true.
Remember that.
Very, very true. But we try to make this free because of the right. prayers and faithful financial support of the people who are listening.
You're right. And I'm grateful for that. You know, it's funny, though, about the free. Let me say something about that. I was in South Africa many years ago, and these people who I loved, and I was speaking every day and every night, and, you know, 15 days there, and I spoke 14 of them morning, noon, and night. So I hardly got to see that beautiful land then. I've now gone back. But one of the things they said about us Americans was they said, you know, so many of your websites are just basically infomercials for whatever you do. Hmm. I came back to Homeward and I closed Homeward down because we were called Youth Builders at the time. But I closed our website down and we came back with a website that had lots of free stuff because obviously those people weren't able to do one of our great seminars. You know, Homeward's the largest provider of parenting seminars in the country. They couldn't afford a parenting seminar, and our people weren't going to be able to fly to South Africa to do it. But you know what? We could supply them with a lot of great resources and insight. And sure, there's books on that, and there are ways to get to know our seminars, and there's a place to donate and all the rest. But the truth is that the vast majority of the Homeward website is free, and I appreciate that. That's our commitment to the people who God has entrusted us to serve.
Amen. Well, you can support the ministry of Homeward through prayer. We really appreciate your prayers. We also appreciate your financial support, too. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com or write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. In just a moment, we'll continue this conversation with Dr. Jim Burns on how to have a faith conversation with your family. Jim, I want to talk to you about problem kids. What happens if there's that one child who is either kind of squirrely at the faith conversation table, or the one who just says, I'm not doing it.
Okay,
you can't make it.
Now you're talking personal about my family, or me.
we'll
get back to you.
We'll talk about that after the break.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Wow, Tina. I don't think I've ever seen so many birthday gifts.
I know, nice haul, huh?
Yeah. Have you started writing your thank you notes yet?
Oh, no, actually, I haven't.
And why not?
Oh, well, guess I've been kind of busy, Mom.
Kinda busy?
Well,
Tina, there is nothing worse than the sin of a thankless heart.
Sin?
And no daughter of mine is going to be guilty of that.
You
need to start writing those notes today. Sit.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to thankfulness, I meet two types of people. First, there are the grumblers and the complainers. And then there are those who are thankful, grateful people. Well, almost always, the person who's complaining is much less happy than the thankful person. As Christian parents, we have a special reason to adopt this attitude of gratitude, and that's because we know that whatever comes our way, our life is in God's hands. For a free tip sheet called How to Utilize Thank Therapy in Your Everyday Life, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Roger Marsh here, the co-host of the program, sitting in the host chair today, which we've already established is much bigger and much more comfortable than mine, but that's one of the perks of being the president of Homeward. Isn't
I actually
it,
think that that chair is not as comfortable as this chair.
So oh, okay.
I just will get it straight
Fair
right
enough.
Now.
Fair enough.
Well,
we're
but it's great to have you there. And also, a lot of our listeners don't realize that Roger Marsh is the voice on primetime Fox. So you hear him if you watch American Idol as the billboard announcer. American Idol is brought to you by, and really a veteran of radio for a lot longer than I am. So it's nice to have you talking to me about this new book, Faith Conversations for Families.
And how to have a faith conversation with your family. Jim, before the break, we were talking about the fact that there are going to be some families where there's one kid who isn't going to be on board with this. They're either a discipline problem and they just kind of, you know, make jokes through it all the way through, or it's like, you know, the door's closed and it's locked and I'm not coming out. What do you tell the parent who has a kid who doesn't want to get with the program?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't have an easy answer. Parents will want me to give an easy answer on that.
I want you to give an easy
answer. I think there's times when you're the parent, buck up, make the kid come up and be a part of it, depending on what else is going on. I think there's other times where you say, you know what, I'm going to give you a free slip today, and, you know, don't. With ours, our kids came, but we said you can always just pass. So if there was any kind of sharing or actually praying that if they wanted to pass, they could pass and nobody was going to look down on them. Because, you know, people come to a faith conversation with different attitudes and different life and actually in a different place. So, you know, we found that that was sure the case with our kids. And I think they appreciated it that we didn't hassle them about having to be hyper-spiritual at times. Mm-hmm. We did ask our kids to come and we bribed them through good food, frankly. But it was also a time where there were many times when one of the kids didn't want to. Can I tell a joke on the Homeward Show?
Please
this is actually more about me, because there were times, I'll be honest with you, Roger, I didn't want to do them. Maybe there was tension in our house, or I just thought, oh man, I just don't feel like doing this today. And we always tried to do it on Sundays. And there were times when we missed, obviously. But the story is there was a man who said, honey, I don't want to go to church this morning. And she goes, you have to. And he says, honestly, I don't want to go to church. You know, it's a beautiful day. I want to go out to the lake. Maybe I'll play some golf. I don't want to go to church. And she said, honey, you have to. Said, well, give me three good reasons why I have to go. Well, I'll just give you one reason. You're the pastor. You're giving the message. Well, you know, sometimes I think as parents, we think, well, the kids don't want to do it. But there's times as parents that we don't want to. Maybe husband and wife are in an argument or a fight. You know, the last thing you want to do is do that. But what I've learned is when you intentionally do that anyway, it really does help, because kids then understand that you can also bring yourselves before the throne of God, even when, you know, things aren't always going so special. If you wait till things are always going to be special, you know, most homes are, you know, bumping into each other and life's a little bit chaotic or whatnot. So, you know what? Calm it down. Just have the time.
And find your own rhythm. I know that's one that you talk about a lot, about different families do this different ways as far as the pacing of the family goes. So don't put yourself in a situation where it's going to cause a lot of frustration, and then it's, oh yeah, now we have to have a faith conversation.
Well, you're right. You know, with this Faith Conversations book, one of the things I say at the beginning, because I kind of give parents ideas on how to use these, because again, it's not really a book that where I write a lot of content on it. It's just a lot of content with doing them. And I say, you know, a friend of mine has something called Mealtime is Family Time, and they use things like this at mealtime. That would never work in our home. I know other people who start the day with a little bit of a Bible study and inspiration. That, again, would not be our day. Now, actually, I'm going to throw my wife under the bus, because she's not a morning person. So
right.
She'll have some time with God personally, but she needs that time with God personally more than she needs it with us in the morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, you find your time. You find your rhythm. For us, again, it wasn't every day. It was once a week. We prayed every day, hopefully, and not always even that. But mainly, find the rhythm and do what works for your family.
One of your favorite passages in Scripture reminds us that when we welcome a child, we welcome Jesus into our midst. And I want you to talk about why that principle is so vital, making sure the kids are included, and this is important to them too,
yeah.
As far as faith conversations.
Well, it actually comes out of a major principle in my life. I call it the power of being there. And Jesus, in that particular Scripture, actually it's in Mark 10 and Mark 9 that you get some of this. But Jesus, you know, welcomed children, and then he had a conversation about how important it is that you be like a child to enter the kingdom of God. Then he placed his hands on a child, and then he said, when you welcome one of these children, he points to children. This was actually done in Mark 9. When you welcome one of these children in my name, you welcome me, but not just me, but the one who sent me. So in other words, he placed a very high priority on children. What I'm saying is that if you're going to place that high of a priority on children, as Jesus did, and that means our job description is huge with what we do, then you know what? Part of that is taking on the responsibility as parents to provide faith conversations for our family.
Is it feasible for us to say that we can do a faith conversation using something like thank therapy, for example. That's a homeward principle that we talk about. Is that a way to get a faith conversation going?
Absolutely. In fact, it is. It's part of the book. I sneak thank therapy in often. It's kind of a life message, which basically I use the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything you do, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I had the people write down reasons why they were thankful and then share it with their family. That's a faith conversation.
Right there.
So it's simple. You looked at a scripture, you saw what the scripture said, but then you act upon it. Hmm. And so the family has kind of a feel-good time because they're writing down reasons why they're thankful, because seldom can you be depressed and thankful at the same time. So I think it even changes the mood of the family. So exactly, you know, you could take lots of different scriptures and you just ask them to respond to it. It doesn't have to be long.
One that I liked in reading through the book was when you talked about the rock of remembrance.
Hmm.
And that back to Deuteronomy, because I'm an Old Testament guy and I like Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I don't know why, but Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His works are perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. And then we look at that verse and then say, okay, how does that apply?
Well, you can look at that verse and talk about this rock of remembrance. But in the Old Testament, when someone met with God and had a meeting with God, they would oftentimes build kind of like a monument.
Yeah.
So with all of the kids, and I don't care what the age of the kids are, it's going to be different for a 5-year-old than it is for a 15-year-old, but you know, you have a rock and you have them even maybe even write something on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a time when they had a profound experience with God. Our kids probably would have written camp, the camp's name or whatever it might be, or maybe a special worship time or whatever it was, and then they would get around and share that. So they're learning a biblical message, but they're actually doing something where, you know, they have a rock. For example, I have a rock because of something like that. It sits on my dresser. Let's be honest, 300 days a year, I just move the rock. You know, it's not like I'm thinking about it, but I'll tell you.
Every now and
then. I bet you every so often I'll look at that and, you know, kind of smile or remember it as a time when I had a special experience with God.
About a decade ago, you had done some research and it led you to the following conclusion that you included in your book, The 10 Building Blocks for a Happy Family. It said, happy, healthy families have clearly expressed expectations, positive limits, boundaries, and consistent discipline. Has that changed?
No. In fact, I think it's probably more important today because of the chaos that goes on in the home. We need consistency big time, consistent discipline, expressed expectations. In fact, you know, just the other day, I was talking with a kid who said to me, I actually wish that my parents let me know what they wanted me to do because now I'm using my words, not his words. I really want to please my parents, but, you know, they kind of don't tell me what they need me to do,
yeah,
and then
guessing.
They scream and yell at me all the time is what, you know, I remember him saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's important for us to express clearly what we hope our kids will do. Again, it's more complicated if you have troubled teens or if your kids are older or things like that. But, you know, I think that's what we do. We just have to be consistent with our discipline. And really that means, I in my book Teenology, I say this, as you're getting ready to, you know, parent your teens, I say, stay calm, get as emotionally and spiritually healthy as you can, and then start the process. So part of it is we will be more consistent when we put some energy into our own life, when we tend our own spiritual fire, when we, you know, in a better place ourselves. And so I think we have to lean into our own spiritual life so that we have something left over to give to our kids.
Take the final moment of our time together here and give that parent who is maybe on the fence about this, or the one who's been doing it for a while, doing faith conversations at home, and it just seems like they're in kind of a dry spot right now. Give them some hope. Give them some encouragement to keep on this course.
Well, keep on keeping on. You know, I ran a marathon, and there were many times I wanted to quit, and there were other times when I really didn't want to keep going just because I was in too much pain or struggle. But when I finished the marathon, I looked back, and, you know, it was one of the goals of my life, and I accomplished that goal, and, you know, today I still feel great about that goal. Well, you know, it's not about really how wonderful the moment was. It's about going through the process of it. And so I would say, just keep doing it. And, you know, there are times when I have an amazing meal and there's times when I have a meal that, you know, nourishes me. And so I would say to any parent who is going to start trying to do faith conversations for families, I would say start small, maybe do it once a week, make it a part of something else that's larger than that, and, you know, do it in minutes, not in hours, where kids would even ask for more rather than less, and find those moments where you have this kind of magical moment. I would say every once in a while, you have a magical moment with your children when you're doing faith conversations. The other time is you're laying the foundation. That really is an important foundation that they will take with them long after they're out of your house, because we're raising kids not to be necessarily always obedient kids, but responsible adults who love God. And you do that by over and over again laying that foundation. And sometimes you might have a kid right now who's struggling like crazy with life. And what I'm saying is keep building the foundation. They will return. They may have a story. They may have a testimony. They may have problems, but they will return. And I think we need to hold on to that hope that God loves our kids more than we do. So at least we can pray for them, and we can always pray with them, even if they don't respond like we had hoped that they would.
And isn't that what Augustine was getting at when he said, pray as if everything depends on God, but work as if everything depends upon you. Great reminders from Dr. Jim Burns today as we conclude this conversation, actually on the topic of faith, Conversations for Families, the brand new book from Jim Burns, now available in stores. And now for Jim, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.